Luke chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 4 to 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The parable of the sower is the best known of all the parables that Jesus told. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and here in Luke. No other parable is recorded as many times as the parable of the sower. It's a straightforward story. It's a very memorable story. And it has spoken to people for 2,000 years. When Jesus told the parable, it's quite possible that there were actually farmers sowing their fields around him, because people had come from the surrounding towns and they were out in the country, which is where Jesus often would teach and preach to the people. And so the sight of farmers sowing the seed was a familiar sight to people, and it would help us to try and picture that scene. Of course, when seed is sown, it's the winter time. Maybe you're not aware of that, but you don't sow it in the middle of summer. It's too late then. You sow it in the winter. The fields would have been ploughed, so they look pretty brown, and hopefully there will have been some rain, so there's not much greenery around. You may have noticed that it speaks in verse 7 of how the thorns grow up with the seed. In other words, the thorns were not already there. Those weeds had not yet started to grow. And if you're a gardener, you know that you don't start planting your seeds until the soil is warm enough. And so this is the time of year. So it looks pretty brown. The farmer, therefore, cannot always tell what the soil is going to be like. Even the stony ground, of course, you'll see some rocks, but they might be just beneath the soil. Unless he digs deep, he might not discover that there are rocks there. And so he doesn't know necessarily where he's throwing the seed. There weren't seed drills, of course, in those days. He'd have a cloth bag over his shoulder filled with seed, and he'd be throwing it broadcast. And inevitably, some of that seed would fall on unproductive ground. The path, the rocky soil, the thorny soil. And as he scatters this seed, thankfully, much, possibly the majority, will fall on good soil. And it's the good soil alone that produces a crop. Now, naturally, when Jesus has finished telling this parable, the disciples are thinking, now, what does it mean? Maybe you're familiar with the explanation. They weren't. It's a very memorable story. It's a very graphic story. What does it mean? And that's what we want to look at this morning. I want to make two main headings, though the second will go through some of the different soils. My first heading is this: the parable of the sower is all about how you hear the word of God. Having finished telling the people this parable, Jesus himself really makes this point in verse 8. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." In fact, it literally says, Jesus went on saying, it's like he repeats this, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And I don't think Jesus is just telling us to listen carefully to this parable. I think what he's saying is, this is what the parable is all about. It's about hearing the word of God. It's about hearing Jesus. It's all about how we listen. Jesus makes clear to his disciples in verse 11 that the seed stands for the word of God. And those four different types of soil are four different hearers, people who are hearing the word of God. The word of God needs to be heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what these four different types of people are doing. Just notice how this is emphasized. So in verse 4, Jesus says, "Those along the path are the ones who hear." They're hearing. Then verse 13, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it." Verse 14, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear." And then verse 15, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word." They all hear the word. This is a parable about how you hear that word. They all hear exactly the same word. You know, there's no difference between the seed that the farmer has that happens to fall on the path compared to the seed that falls on the good soil. It's the same word. And those crowds, as Jesus preached, they're all hearing exactly the same message that Jesus brings. Like when you sit in church, you all hear the same words. The seed is the same. The difference comes in the way in which people hear that word. Now, we often divide people up into different categories. There are personality types. There's social class. There are different abilities. Some people are sporty, some are not. Some people are musical, some are not. We divide people up into nationality, into race. We divide people up in all kinds of different ways. Such differences are not so important to Jesus. What really matters is how you hear God's word. That's the thing that he distinguishes between people. Whether you are rich or poor, young or old, intelligent, popular, good-looking, healthy or not, such things, finally, do not matter. And for some of us, that's a great relief. It doesn't actually matter if you're popular at school or not. It doesn't actually matter if you're great at football or not. It doesn't actually matter if you're poor or rich. What matters is how you hear God's word. That is what matters. This is the most important thing. And that is what makes all the difference to these people in this parable. You see, the difference is about being saved. Did you notice that in verse 12? "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts." And then notice, "so that they may not believe and be saved." This is so important. This is far more important than your studies, than your job, than your family. This is about eternal salvation. It's about becoming mature in the faith. Verse 14. "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." They don't become mature in the faith. They don't produce a crop. God's word brings salvation. It tells of Jesus who offers eternal life. It tells of Jesus who offered his life as a sacrifice for sins so that we can be forgiven. We're not talking about little things like making money or politics or healthy lifestyles. We're not talking about those little things. We're talking about what really matters. On the day of judgment, those things are of little consequence compared to how you hear God's word. And all of us here this morning fit into one of these categories. They are fairly broad categories. The thorns, did you notice, can be, on the one hand, worries and cares of life, but on the other, they could be riches or pleasures of life. Very different, and yet here is one category. In Matthew and Mark's account, we read that the good soil produces sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. Again, there's a variety. But it's the same category. Each of us here this morning is like one of these soils. And that's a challenge. And so I want to really urge that this morning you listen carefully. It's all about how you hear God's word. As we look at each of the soils shortly, I want you to be honest with yourself. I cannot see into your heart. I do not know everything about your life. But my longing and my prayer this morning is that each of us will be like the good soil that produces a crop. Good soil that stands for those who are saved and who mature in the faith. So the parable of the sower is all about how you hear the word of God. Let's listen carefully then. There are three bad ways of hearing God's word. That's my second heading. There are three bad ways of hearing God's word. Some who hear God's word are like the seed that fell on the path. It makes no impression on them. It seems unimportant, and it's just trampled underfoot, like a pebble on the path. Such people are not eager to hear God's word. They hear God's word, but they don't particularly want to hear God's word. Maybe they come out of curiosity, maybe they come because they're brought along, even against their will, but they just kind of expected to be there, or for whatever reason, they find themselves listening to Jesus or in church, but they're not really eager to hear. They don't value the word of God. And so they don't try and think about it. Let their minds wander off. Now, I'm not saying every time you sit in a sermon and your mind wanders off that you are like the path. You know, I've sat in sermons. I mean, I wish I could sit in more sermons. I love listening to sermons. But even the greatest of preachers, sometimes your mind does drift. I mean, it happens. We are human. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the person who doesn't actually make any effort to listen to what is being said. It can be hard work to understand, to grapple with the truth of God's word. But they don't want to make that effort. And if they do think about the word, it's only to think, oh, I know who ought to be hearing this. Happy to apply it to other people, but never to themselves. And afterwards, of course, they forget about what they've heard. They don't think over it. They don't think it really applies to them. And what's happening? The devil is taking that word out of their hearts. Verse 12 again. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Isn't that a shocking thing? That if you are like this path, the devil is active in your heart. Isn't that shocking? Isn't that enough to make us sit up and think, I don't want to be someone whose life is influenced by the devil himself. And why does the devil take away this seed? Because the devil hates God. And the devil doesn't want you to believe. The devil doesn't want you to become one of Christ's followers. And how does the devil do it? He makes sure you don't think about this. He makes sure you don't listen carefully. He makes sure that you forget about what you've heard. Don't be that person. Don't think, oh, maybe one day I'll take these things seriously. The fact is, that day may never come. Don't be like this person who's no better than a footpath. Then there's the rocky ground. Now these people, they love the word when they first hear it. It makes a lot of sense to them. Here at last is a true explanation for who they are, for what's wrong in the world. And what an amazing thing that God should give his own son to die for our sins. Isn't that amazing? Who wouldn't want to believe? And Christians are such lovely people. Who wouldn't want to be a Christian? I definitely want to believe. So far, so good. But what happens? It's a good start. But as we all know, good starts don't finish the race. It's a good start, but that's all it is. Because then the challenges start to come in. You see, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to take in his word and believe his word and follow him, it means you also need to obey him. To trust in him, that person, Jesus Christ, is to trust in him for who he is. He is the King. He is the Lord. And if you want him to save you, you're following him as your King. The King who commands. But you love him if you're a true believer. You love him. You want to follow him. You want to obey him. But the person like the rocky ground, they start to have second thoughts. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you can't hold on to other beliefs. You can't hold on to the religion that you grew up with. You can't serve two masters. Jesus said you can't serve God and money. He could just as well have said, you can't serve Jesus Christ and some other religious leader. You have to choose. And this is the problem. This seed that falls on the rocky ground, it has no root. It appears for a time, it seems such a wonderful response to the word, but it doesn't have a root. Because of the rocks. There are things in the way that stop it growing. The problem isn't the sun. You think, oh, if it was more rain, if it was more sun. No. Remember, all the types of soil have the same amount of sun, the same amount of rain. That's not the problem. The problem is there's no root. The word needs to take root in your heart. The word should so fill your heart that it leaves no place for any rival. Be that another religion. Be that money. Be that wanting to go your own way rather than following the commands of Jesus. So the problem is not with the seed, the problem is not with the sun, it's the lack of root. Don't be that person. Don't be the one who only hears for a time, but then falls away. Then there's the thorny ground. These are the people who hear the word, and they also seem to accept it. But over time, it might be over weeks, it might be over decades, other things take over. The picture is of this ground, and maybe the farmer doesn't realize, but there are also other seeds in this ground. And the thorns grow up with the seed. And what happens? Those thorns are too powerful, and they that they choke the seed. And those seedlings just never mature and produce a crop. Other things take over this person. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Life is tough. Life is tough. Finances are stretched. Health isn't good. There are so many family demands, be that demands of older parents, be that demands of younger children. Life is tough. Or life is good. I mean, you know, there's a bit more money around. We've got a bit of choice. We've got money to spend. Isn't that nice? We've got more interest. Sometimes they're expensive interests. Sometimes these interests take a lot of time. We've got more friends. We take more holidays. Life is great. And whether life is tough or life is good, either way, over time, these people, they serve less and less in church. They attend church less and less. They read the Bible and pray less and less. They love less. And their spiritual life becomes an empty shell. No heart. Just occasional show. No appetite for God. No desire to be with his people. No desire to hear his word. And this person fails to mature. It's really sad. Really sad. They're still impatient. They're still bitter. They're still greedy. They're still self-centered. They haven't actually changed. The three bad ways of hearing God's word. There's one right way of hearing God's word. That's our final heading. There is one right way of hearing God's word. The seed that produces a crop is seed that takes root and isn't choked by thorns. These are the people who were told in verse 15, hear the word with a noble and true heart. Now, what does that mean? Well, it explains. They retain the word. They keep the word. They believe it. They know that this is the word of God. They believe it. They value it. It's a priority to them. And not only do they keep listening, they hold firmly to this word. Not to selected parts of it, but to all of it. Some parts of God's word, we immediately find a joy and a wonder. But so do people who like the stony ground. You see, other times, as in John 6 and verse 60, we find the teachings of Jesus as some of the followers of Jesus, they said, this is a hard teaching. And sometimes there are tough things that God says, things that we don't really understand necessarily, or things that grate with our culture or our background. And what do? We don't grumble. We don't leave. We say with Peter, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Even though some of the things are difficult to follow and difficult to accept, we want to keep that word. You have the words of eternal life. You see, they persevere. These are the ones who have a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. They don't give up when there's no immediate crop. It takes time, doesn't it, for that seed to produce a crop. They don't give up when it seems unpromising. You know, sometimes we feel full of joy and our emotions and feelings towards God are so warm and deep and wonderful. And that is important. We're to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. But we don't always feel joy. Though spiritual experiences and close fellowship with God's people are wonderful things that we should strive after, the fact is there can be drier stretches in our lives. It's great when the ground is moist and the sun is shining. Things seem to grow so wonderfully then. But conditions are not always ideal. But you know what? It's at such times that the roots go deeper and the plant becomes stronger and actually the crop develops more flavor. See, these people mature. What is the crop? As we said before, it's being saved. It's maturing, verse 14. It means belonging to Christ and becoming like him. And isn't that a wonderful crop? That you should become like Jesus, like the very word that he has preached. All of us here this morning are like one of these soils. But can I say this? You can become like the good soil. You can become like the good soil. Don't let your life become like waste ground. You know what it's like. You go past a field and it's just full of weeds and thistles or another field and there's just so many rocks around and nothing is productive, there's no growth. Don't let your life be like that. It might look fine at the moment, but in the long run, where is your life heading? It's all about how you listen. Do you have ears to hear? Then listen. Listen to God's word. Go on listening. And when you hear God's word, don't dismiss any of it. Believe it. Even the bits you find tough. Even the bits that you don't understand. Believe his word. And when his word tells you to do something, obey. Don't think, well, I'll wait. But persevere. Listen well. Believe. Obey. Keep going. You know, when I go to parent-teacher evenings and the teacher at the front gives the little spiel, you know, one thing they say every time is, you know, make sure your child gets to school. You know, they feel a bit unwell, they got a bit of a snuffle, still send them to school because they need to be in school. Well, if they say that about school, I mean, school is important, don't get me wrong. How much more coming to church? How much more hearing God's word? How much more reading that word for yourself each day? Persevere. You cannot grow without God's word. You cannot be a Christian without believing what he says. But as you do, you are those who are saved. You are those who produce a wonderful crop, whose life is pleasing to God. May each of us be that good soil to the glory of God. Let's pray.